نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ اس فضل اس احسان ہی گیو اس توفیق آف فاسٹنگ ان منتھ آف رمضان اینڈ ناؤ ہی از گیونگ اس اے ڈے آف ریجوائسنگ آف میکنگ شکر فار ہیونگ گیون اس دا توفیق ٹو فاسٹ اٹس ریئلی اے ڈے آف تھینکس گیونگ ٹو اللہ تعالیٰ شوئنگ اپریسیشن فار دس گریٹ باؤنٹی آف ہیونگ بلیسڈ اس ود دا توفیق آف فاسٹنگ In the past two or three days, I think I must have given this example already about three times. And that is always what happens practically every year. That at the beginning of the year, I give the beginning of Ramadan, I give the example of the dastarkhan which has been laid out for iftar. That example also by now you have, must have heard and listened to it so many times. But if you only take that example to heart, it will change our life. That at the time of iftar, there's dates there, there's samosas and pies and everything on the dastarkhan. And if it's 1 or 2 minutes to go, even if the Imam of Haram Sharif or all the muftis of the world have to tell us that open your fast, it makes no difference, 2 or 3 minutes, what difference does it make? The person with the weakest iman like ourselves also, we will say impossible. We can never ever open the fast 2 minutes before sunset. Will anybody open it? If anybody has to tell us, will we open our fast? We won't. We become very, very strong in our iman. We say it is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, order of Allah Ta'ala, command of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore, we'll only open after the sun has set. Irrespective of who tells us, we're not going to open the fast. So that example I give at the beginning of Ramadan always. For many years that has been happening. That just as that 2 minutes before iftar, opening of fast is against the command of Allah Ta'ala. In the same way, we have to look at all the commands of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah Ta'ala whom we are following for the 2 minutes, don't we have to follow Him in all our life? So is not namaz also the hukam of Allah Ta'ala 5 times a day and for the men folk with jama'at as far as possible? Is it not His hukam? To give zakat, to make hajj, to be honest, to be truthful, to develop in our hearts shukr, sabr, zuhud, qanaat, tawakkul and trust in Him. Are these not all hukams of Allah Ta'ala? To fulfill the rights of our parents, our children and our family members. Are they not also hukams of Allah Ta'ala, commands of Allah Ta'ala? So why only for that 2 minutes we become so strong? And is it not that same Allah Ta'ala who has ordered no casinos, no discos, no zarif clubs, no dancing in nightclubs, and no watching all this porn and filth and all the Hollywood and Bollywood. If you look at the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif, so many things have been prohibited, drinking, gambling and other things. And from there, these things have been deduced. So let us make up our minds that this Ramadan that went by, if we abstain from all these things in Ramadan, now we're not going to return to it after Ramadan. That is the most important thing. So that example which I give at the end of Ramadan is about the dance. And I gave it this afternoon also, but we have a large crowd here and a new audience, that if a person has got a car that has been dented, it has been smashed, it met up with an accident, so now he takes it and gives it to the panel beater to have all the dents removed. Now the panel beater removes all the dents. When he removes the dents, then he polishes it, shines it, gives it back to us in showroom condition. Now after he gives it in showroom condition, will any sensible person say that since there is a panel beater next door, let me go on smashing my car again? Or will he purposely go and bash his car? Will he purposely go and dent his car? The person will say that now I've got it in showroom condition, I must look after it. But there is a possibility that there could be another accident, Allah Ta'ala protect. But if there is another accident, then go and have it repaired again. But don't purposely go and smash just because we can have it repaired. So the month of Ramadan was for that. There were lots of dents on our hearts. So much of different kinds of dents we had on our hearts. Spiritual hearts. Now in the month of Ramadan, we were given the opportunity to remove all these dents with our namaz and zakat and ibadat and tawbah and istighfar and returning to whomsoever whatever was due or asking for forgiveness, apologizing, all those kind of things we were doing and removing those dents. the dens of pride and the dens of arrogance, the dent of jealousy, malice, greed. Now we remove those dens. So now what we should be doing? We shouldn't be smashing again the spiritual heart. We should look after it. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this Eid a day of joy and happiness and prosperity and peace for us, for the Muslim Ummah of this country and the world at large. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala become pleased with whatever ibadat, zikr, tilawat was done and charities that were given. Now tomorrow morning, inshaAllah, our Fajr Salat in this masjid will be at 4:55 will be Jama'at. Practically all the Eidgahs and wherever Eid Namaz is taking place, the Salat is at 6:30, the Bayans are starting at 6:05, 6 o'clock or 6:05. So you have about an hour between Fajr Salat and the Eidgah. So what we should do is we should not unnecessarily delay our going to the Eidgah or wherever Eid Namaz is being made, whichever area whosoever is making. Then he should find out whatever is the time in that area and make it to the Eidgah as early as possible. The Qabristan, unfortunately, we consider it as an obligation, a farz, a wajib, that we must go after the Fajr Salat on Eid day. And in the process, what happens is that because we say, now read at my father's qabr, read at my mother's qabr, read at my sister's qabr, my auntie's qabr, my wife's qabr, my sister. And by the time we finish up reading with each individual qabr, sometimes the janazah, that Eid Salat is also over. Or the crowd at the Eidgah will have to wait. They're coming still. Where are they coming from? They're coming from the Qabristan. So what we should do is, now Isha is early, we are finished. If a person wants to go. So it's not a hard and fast rule. But if a person wants to go, but don't go alone at night. Otherwise that person's mouth will come away in the Qabristan. Instead of reading Fatiha, they will have to read Fatiha over that person. These things are dangerous in these days, so therefore you must be a little careful. That go with a few friends, make sure your car is parked properly and all that, and if lots of people are there, then you can go now. And if not, then go after the Eid Salat. When you're relaxed, go away to the Eidgah, make your salat properly, relaxed, you are there on time, you don't have to rush, you don't have to search for parking after that, and after the Eid Namaz, then go in to the Qabristan. And there too, you can't be going to each individual Qabr, it is going to take a whole day. The main people of one's family, if you go, alhamdulillah, but otherwise Allah Ta'ala has got the power to send the sawab to all of them, you read, stand one place and read for a whole lot, so there's nothing wrong. Don't make life difficult, because what is happening, the families are extending. Before it was just somebody's father died, mother died, finish. But now marriages, intermarriages, family extending. Now so many people are in the Qabristan. So let us not make life difficult for everybody. And the third thing is that what should we be doing? Have a ghusl, have a bath that everybody knows. We are fortunate, we have water and soap and everything else. We don't have to wear new clothes because a lot of poor people will not be able to afford new clothes. Those who got new clothes, wear new clothes. But those clothes also must not be depicting some kind of religious significance of some other people. It must be clothing that is within Sharia limits, which is modest and which makes a person recognized as a Muslim. So wear good clothes, clean clothes, and apply itar, go early to the Eidgah, read Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd on the way. Take one route going time, take another route coming time. There's a hikmat in that. There is so many thousand Muslims going one route and coming another route. People also, they get awestruck that look at the Muslim community. And then abstain from all those things which are sinful and haram. Especially in families, it has become very common that the moment they come from the Eidgah, then they're hugging and kissing and shaking hands, unconcerned whether that girl is a mahram or not, that woman is a mahram or not, that boy is a mahram or not, or whether we can shake hands with them or we can't shake hands, unconcerned. We say, no, Eid day, no, Eid. So will we get sawab or will we get azab of Allah Ta'ala? So stay within Sharia limits. Lots of places they have family gatherings. It makes it very, very difficult for those women who are in parda and hijab, because they are forced now to sit with all the brother-in-laws. One person said that mother-in-law say, your brother-in-law won't eat you up. If you sit in front of him, he's going to eat you up. So let me tell you whether he eats her up or not, but his gazes are eating her up. Sometimes he loses interest in his own wife and now he gets more interested in the sister-in-law. How many cases happen like that? So therefore, let us follow the Sharia. Parda dari ka aaj ye natija nikla. Jisko samjhe the beta wo bhatija nikla. That is the result. So we have to be very careful in that. So if somebody wants to abide by the Sharia and Quran and Sunnah, instead of forcing that person to give up that and do that which is haram, what we should do is give up what we are doing and do that which is right. But if our nafs and if shaitan is ghalib and dominant and doesn't want to allow us to do that, then at least don't force and pressurize those who want to follow the Sharia. Allow them to eat in the kitchen, allow them to eat in the other room. But they too, of course, is not farz and compulsory at that time when people are going in and out and it's difficult. So the ladies must keep the scarves low over the forehead, wear modest dress and avoid as much contact as possible. It doesn't mean they too have to lock themselves up in some room and make life difficult for everybody. Shariat is simple, easy, practical. At such a time, stay in the play area where there are more ladies. And if you have to, then keep the scarf low over the forehead. Avoid joking, laughing with the cousins and brother-in-laws. It's for the protection of our own iman. Otherwise, afterwards, those same husbands are crying, or sometimes those same wives are crying. The wives are saying, I lost my husband. Or the husband says, I lost my wife. To somebody else in the family. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this Eid the best of all Eids for us and for the entire Ummah, and remove the pain and suffering of the Ummah around the globe, and accept and make maqbool all the ibadah, zikr, tilawat, whatever we did, and especially all the du'as that we made. I wish all of you all a very happy, prosperous, mubarak Eid, and request you to make du'a for me. Allah ta'ala give me good health and the tawfiq and the ability to continue with the service of his deen solely for his pleasure, with no other motive of any kind. And my gaze must be solely on his treasures and him alone, and on nobody else. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.